The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. We are here once again. And today, just like any other time, we have another amazing show lined up for y'all. Man, we have amazing content this week, but man, today, right now, we have a special guest. She is an author. She is a success architect, and she is an NLP trainer helping business owners break through their, you know, bullish and achieve their goals. She has an amazing website that you can go to. It's real simple. It's successdevelopmentsolutions.com. Today, we have the honor of talking to Amber Fuhrman. And first and foremost, Amber, thank you for your time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Man, I know you clear out your busy schedule to talk to our audience tonight. I know you're doing big things yourself. So thank you for what you're doing for your own community and for our listening audience tonight. Kind of give us a little backdrop of yourself. Gave you a little introduction, but furthermore, you are an immigration and criminal defense attorney in Las Vegas, Nevada. You also are the founder and host of your own podcast, More Than Corporate Podcast. Kind of give us a little more detail of what you do professionally.
Yeah, so I am still practicing law in Las Vegas, sometimes as little as possible. I call myself a recovering attorney as much as I can. I do still practice criminal defense and immigration. The book came out in August, so the podcast was rebranded to match the book title. However, the content really hasn't changed. So the idea behind everything that I do professionally is based upon my story of tying my definition of success to an external result. For me, it was law school, six-figure income, all the professional accolades that one could want, and then just waiting for happiness to come based upon success. And instead of happiness, I got panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And I've spent the last, 8 years figuring out what success means, how to create it in my life, how to create it in other people's lives, how to avoid tying your identity to something external to yourself so that when life happens and we make that shift, that you don't feel like you have lost your entire purpose by having to or getting to move in a different direction.
In today's topic, we're going to be exploring defining success, a journey of self-discovery, with our special guest, Amber Fuhrman. So I'll let you have the honors. When it comes to defining success, you mentioned growing up that coming up with a clear idea of success is tied to a college education and good job. How did your upbringing influence your early perceptions of success?
Yeah, I mean, I was raised in the 80s, 90s, graduated high school in 2000. So that was the generation that we were being told that the trades were no longer viable and that if you wanted to be successful, you needed the doctors or lawyers or letters after your name and college degrees. And so I bought into that. And nobody in my family had gone to college before. I grew up in a super small town in Idaho, first person in my family to go to college. So I really had no roadmap. I really had nobody sitting back there telling me that enough stuff wouldn't equal success. I mean, they say money can't buy happiness, and people don't believe that until they have money and they're not happy. And that was kind of where I ended up. So I think generationally, if we look at some of the different generations and how they define success, there's different external factors that go into that. And there's no doubt that the millennial generation was being told that college education was it because our parents in the Gen X generation wanted something more for ourselves than the factories and the blue collar jobs that they had. So no fault to them. We are just raised as a society to believe that college would equal success. And that turned out not to be true.
When you look at the landscape of today's time, I mean, I don't really know if it's too much difference except for technology. But when it comes to the common thread, what do you think in today's busyness of the world, some of the fundamentals that doesn't change when it comes to basic elements to building this lifestyle of, you know, success?
Yeah, I think that the number one thing that underlies is, regardless of whether you have massive technology and you see the world at your fingertips, or whether you grow up in a generation and in a town of no access to technology, there's societal expectations of what you should want. And we allow ourselves to take those on. There's people chasing dreams for the wrong reasons, because they're told that they should want them, not that they actually do want them. So I think the only thing that's really changed with technology is that those expectations are more in our face. And we see people living this life on social media that appears perfect and attainable. And then we shoot for that and realize that we're getting a glimpse of their life, and it's the good glimpse, and it's probably a filter. So it's the reality of stepping back and saying, what do I want? What's the purpose of me wanting it? And if it's not in alignment with what other people want me to have, being willing to acknowledge that you are the designer and the captain of your own life, and you're kind of the boss. So if you want something, go get it.
We're talking to our guest today, Amber Fuhrman, and you can go to her website, is successdevelopmentsolutions.com. Today, man, nothing is more pressure. I mean, not pressure. Nothing is much more precious than our time and our resources. When it comes to gaining back control of one's life, what's some of the things that you learn personally that allows you to allow yourself to grow when things are chaotic, so that way you can bring more control into how you lead yourself?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a practical one at first, and then the reality is that we're emotional beings. So this question and this idea of gaining time back in your life is a logical question and a practical question that emotional beings try to solve. So practically, as counterintuitive as it sounds, the more structured your day is, the more freedom you'll have. And it took me a really long time to get on board with that, with creating a structure and following a calendar and being willing to meal plan and being willing to have everything laid out for my week for me. I'm an adult and I worked hard to get here, and I'm going to make sure that I have all the freedom that I want. But when we don't plan it out, we end up with so many choices that we spend more time trying to decide what to decide than we do actually taking action. So that's the logical solution. The reality is, from an emotional standpoint, most of us don't know what calm feels like. And most of us have lived in survival mode for so long that when things slow down and start to get calm, we start to panic because we feel like there's something wrong. And then we make it chaotic again so that we can feel comfortable. So the reality is, understanding what your upbringing has been and what the purpose is of you feeling like you need chaos around you all the time, so that you can start to solve that issue, and then the rest will fall into place.
I mentioned in the intro that you're author, success architect, and NLP trainer. For the audience who are listening, just in case someone doesn't know what NLP is, can you explain that for our audience?
Yeah, NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistics Programming, and it's, simply put, the science of success. If we break down that word, Neuro-Linguistics Programming, if we break down that word, Neuro-Linguistics Programming, the neuro is your mind. How is it formed? How is it programmed? Where do your beliefs come from? Where do your values come from? What are the sociological timeframes that your you're formed from an imprint period and modeling, and where do you take that out into the world to figure out where you fall in society during your socialization period. So understanding how your mind is formed in the first place. The linguistics, what language are you using? What words are you using to describe your reality? And what is that creating in your life as far as what you believe is possible? And then finally is the programming. You know, we've all heard the cliche comparison to a computer, and it's lasted the test of time because it's so accurate. If you were to pull out an old, you know, what were they, like the Commodore from very, very first computers, and try to run today's technology on it, it wouldn't work. Yet so many of us take our mind with the same beliefs and the same values and the same expectations that we had growing up 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And we expect that to get us to where we want to go in these years of our life, and it's just not possible. So understanding what programs run and reprogramming those to be able to fit the future that we want to have. So that's neurolinguistics programming in a nutshell, understanding what success is, how you think about it, where those thoughts come from, what words you use to describe it, and how you can change it.
That's a great point, because I remember I had a discussion with someone a while back when they kind of mentioned something similar where, you know, you can't operate on Windows 95 in today's world. I mean, you could, but you might be a little bit more frustrated because all the bells and whistles that we have access to in today's technology, the old system, it doesn't just cut it. So with that, what are some of the systems that you had to find out you outgrew, and how did you position yourself to create new systems?
Yeah. So first of all, let me just talk on the systems concept for just a minute, because you're 100% right. And when I talk to people and we use this Windows 95 analogy, they're like, but I'm not a computer. But you kind of are. So if you think about a computer, it doesn't multitask, right? If you break down when I went to college, my first degree was in computer programming. So if you break down that flowchart and you look at what's happening in microseconds, computers are making decisions based upon the strategies, the logic, the tools and programming that you've given it. So for us, it may look like we have music playing at the same time. We're on a Zoom call at the same time. We've got our calendar up and everything's working at the same time. It's not. Humans are the same way. Multitasking is a myth. Our brain has millions of pieces of information coming at it every single second. And we, as our brain is formed, are looking for ways to lump that information into identifiable chunks and filter it in a way that allows our brain to process as much information as possible. Those chunks and how we filter is where that programming is at. So, for example, I start every single one of my trainings off by telling people that the four most dangerous words in the English language are, I already know that. Because what happens is information comes in and you say, oh, I've heard this before. I know this. I know how this is going to end. And your brain says, sweet, I'm going to take these 200 pieces of information that you already know, put it over in this box that I don't have to deal with, and focus on the other 10,000 that are coming at me at the same time, since you already know that. Well, in that chunk of things that you already know is the piece of information that would change your results. It's the piece of information that would explain your habits. It's the piece of information that would connect dots for you. But your brain doesn't even pay attention because you've already said you already know it. So that's how critical the programming in our brain is. So when we step back and look at how we were raised, what was our relationship like with money? What was our relationship like with communication? Did you learn at a young age that money ruins relationships? Did you learn at a young age that communication isn't open and available? Is that why, as an adult, maybe you're passive aggressive? All of these, every single behavior has an intention, and that intention ties back to the programming in our brain. So to answer your question, I grew up in a blue collar family. My dad owned a construction company. I was always told, like most people in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, that work hard and it will pay off. work hard and it will pay off. Or if it's not hard, it's not worth doing. And then the easy things, the things that come with little resistance in my life, don't seem valuable to me because I haven't worked hard for them. So then when you meet somebody and you start dating and it's simple, you think, wait a second, this is supposed to be hard. There's supposed to be conflict. When you start a new business and things fall into place, you say, wait a minute, what's wrong? What did I miss? Because this is too easy. And then you make it difficult because you've been told that it has to be hard in order to be worth it. This shows up in my fitness journey. You know, I ran a 24-hour obstacle course race in 2017, but try to get me to do yoga and I would have fought you all day because yoga was easy. You didn't sweat. There was no punching involved. There was no sore muscles to me. And if it's not hard, it's not working. How do you think that showed up in my professional life? I pushed myself to the bone. I worked myself to the bone. Everything was chaotic because I created problems to solve so that I could feel like I was, like there were things that were hard that I was fixing. And so that's just an example of kind of a way that a program based on words that we're told impacts every single area of your life.
Once again, listening to our Refocus Radio, talking to our guest today, Amber Furman, and today's topic, defining success, a journey of self-discovery. I mean, I kind of want to go back to the system thing because that, with that analogy, as a busy professional, we have to have little systems in play. Like you mentioned earlier in the show, how you plan your week, you plan your meals, you plan your activities, because if you don't make those type of plans, you kind of, so to speak, just end up anywhere on the map because anything else is available to you. So as a busy business professional, how do you keep yourself organized to where you're not overwhelmed by maybe paying too much to the system, if that makes sense?
It does. It's so interesting that you ask this question because I work out with a trainer and we do some kickboxing stuff. And today we were talking about the reality that if you are punching with your left hand and somebody takes their right hand and goes to, you know, slap you up the side of the head, and you redirect your focus to stop that punch, you're going to get knocked out. And it was this lesson of allow yourself to get tapped in the cheek so that you don't get knocked out. And I think that that's the best example that I can give is like, we can plan all day long, but life's going to punch us in the gut every single day. It always does. And so the reality is having those backup plans to be able to say like, today is one of those punch in the gut days. How do I get back on track as quickly as possible? And there's a few things for me that I use to hold myself accountable. I will never operate without a business coach or two or three or four. Right now I have 5 different coaches for different areas of my life. They all serve different purposes. And my business coach and I have been working together for 3 years and I still send her my calendar. I still send her a rundown of what I've done throughout the day, because she then can look at that and see whether I'm avoiding certain tasks within my business. Am I not putting enough time into something? There's that external view into what it is that I do that helps me run my business the most efficiently. I also have an SOS list. This is something that I was taught at a mastermind event a couple of years ago that stuck with me. Sometimes when we are in the cesspool of our day and we can't seem to get our head above water enough to ask for help, the idea of calling somebody and explaining the answer or explaining what's going on, we just don't have the energy for that. We don't know enough about what's wrong or what's going on to be able to explain it to somebody. And in a world where we've been taught that you've got to be positive and just replace your negative thoughts with positive ones, when we're having a bad day and we go to call somebody about it, that triggers of saying, oh my gosh, I have to be positive if I'm going to be successful. So I have a group of people that I can just send an SOS phrase to. It used to be just the words SOS. They would get it and they would immediately call me and be like, what do we need to talk about? For me, my phrase is I'm stuck in the airport. So if I ever send my friends a text message that says I'm stuck in the airport, they'll call me. And the reason that that's my phrase is there was a day that I was talking to a good friend of mine and I called her and I said, I'm really frustrated with myself right now because I have this unlimited life in front of me and I'm so stuck in my head about which path is the right path to take. And I'm getting really frustrated because what I feel like is that somebody's handed me a golden ticket of a free trip to anywhere in the world paid for. All I've got to do is jump on the plane. And instead of going to the airport and making a decision about what plane to get on, I'm standing in front of the departures board trying to decide which place is going to be the best place to go. There is no wrong decision because any of those places are better than the airport. But I'm stuck in the airport because I refuse to make a decision. So I'm stuck in the airport became my SOS phrase. And I have a trusted group of people that know what that means and can call me and know that I am so deep in my own thoughts and my own bullcrap that I can't express what the real problem is and I need somebody to help talk me through it.
I never heard that before. That's so good. I like that. I'm going to rephrase it a little bit because I don't have an instant replay on the podcast live. But when you mentioned the whole part of, you know, everything is in front of you. And it's like you have a golden ticket. But sometimes we can be overwhelmed with making a decision. And indecision is still a decision. You're just not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay in that indecision mode for years, 5, 10 years from now, guess what? You never move. And that golden ticket was always there. So it's not the golden ticket's fault.
Yeah, 100%.
It was you.
100%. I heard somebody say once that the difference between the Fortune 500 CEO and the small business owner and entrepreneur is that a Fortune 500 CEO would rather make the wrong decision instead of no decision at all.
Hmm. Man, y'all got to rewind that tape for that. That was good. That was good. If that right there would be in someone's master's class, what you just said, because it has everything to do with pulling back full circle to today's topic, defining success. A journey. And stop there. It's a journey. It's not, I mean, we all hear it, it's kind of cliche. We all hear it's not a sprint. You know, life is a marathon. But it's very true. And we try to speed up success. It's like the person with the golden ticket and say their next destination is Chicago. But they don't take that trip to Chicago. But what if that Chicago trip was going to be the open door for them to get to L.A. and then from there get them to New York and from there get to Miami? But guess what? If you don't go to Chicago, you won't ever see those other opportunities. And that's life.
Yeah.
Every opportunity.
And
is,
you know what
is,
happens? Sorry to interrupt you. What happens more often is somebody says, man, society tells me that I need to be in Chicago. I really want to be in Bali. I must be wrong because I want to go to Bali when everybody's telling me I should want to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just going to go to Chicago and figure out why everybody thinks I should be there. And then their entire life, they spend trying to get themselves to Bali when they could have just got there in the first place.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Once again, talking to our guest today, Amber Furman, you can go to her website is successdevelopmentsolutions.com. Again, that's successdevelopmentsolutions.com. Real quick, you have a success boot camp. I can't believe time flew like this, but I guess it had to fly with it. What's some of the things people can learn about the resources you have at that success boot camp you have on your website?
Yeah, so Success Boot Camp is local here to Las Vegas. If you're in the Las Vegas area and you want to come, feel free to reach out to me. However, I am doing some online webinars, so you can get the information on that from either successdevelopmentsolutions.com or from going and joining our Break Your Bull Ishbox community on Facebook. So you can jump in there and I share information there. In both of those places, The online ones are obviously virtual. The other ones are in person here in Vegas. In both of those, you're going to start to get an idea of how to define success for yourself. What does that look like? Because most people define success as freedom or as money or as respect. But those words don't have definitions either. So we get to be really clear about what success means to us on a molecular level, something that we can tangibly touch and create. What ends up happening for the most part is people define an abstract word like success with more abstract words like freedom, and then they don't know what either of those words mean, and they spend their entire life chasing it. So we talk about really how to define success specifically, and then some mindset things that prevent people from achieving success, and some practical tips on how to structure your schedule, your task list, your calendar, how to ask for help, what to set up, like your SOS list, things like that. We have a course coming out April 1st that digs deep into those things. And we have those free webinars and Zoom calls that you can get access to by going to the community.
And real quick, people who are interested in finding that book on Amazon, you can go ahead and say the actual title. It's all good. What's the name and title of the book people find on Amazon?
Yeah, of course. Break Your Bullshit Box. Eliminate Your Excuses, Empower Your Journey, and Earn Your Results. If you search for it, bullshit has an asterisk in the title. Some people have found they actually need to put that in to find it. Other people have found that it'll come up with the full word. So you might want to try to type it either way. If you get it, go ahead and tag me in Instagram or Facebook on it and reach out to me, and I will send you an autographed copy of it as well.
Once again, talking to our guest today, Amber Furman. Go to her website, successdevelopmentsolutions.com. Once again, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.